Okay, welcome back. I'm glad to have you on board this Monday. Watch how fast this one goes by. Things happening all over the place. Michael Snyder, good writer, has put another one up. And his title is one of those things that you kind of, everyone's got an instant answer to, or should. Why are so many bad things happening to America in 2022? Well, you can go back a few years, like Lot's, because America is not controlled by Americans anymore. It's not our country. We were overthrown beginning in 1913, some say back in the 1800s, and moving on forward to the last chance we had was John and Bobby Kennedy to really do something different here and take it away from the usury empire that runs the planet. So, yeah, it's been a long time since America was really controlled by Americans, American citizens, American patriots. And look how they were sacrificed during the Vietnam War, for example. It just goes on and on. Okay, my partner Erica is here, I think. Are you there?
I'm here, Jeff.
Hi.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Here's another one. Now, this is something that we talked about here some time ago, and Eric, I do believe, was probably the first to make mention of it, that the coming flu shot season is going to be very deadly. Well, sure enough, they've announced that the quad flu vax may be combined with the bioweapon death shot, the COVID vax, and given as one injection. Now, the mRNA technology is also being used with the new flu shots. So that means spike protein. How are people going to expect to survive getting anything that comes through a needle anymore that is allegedly designed to prevent disease? It's all gone mRNA or going. This is crazy. And you were right. And this is being picked up now by other people who obviously listen to this program, and that's great. We want the information out there. It's not just that, though. There are other things. What else are they going to combine the COVID bioweapon death shot with this year? There's something else I can't think of.
Oh, it was pox, monkeypox.
The monkeypox vax, so-called. Yeah. Get your monkeypox vaccine, step right up, and we'll give you your second booster at the same time. Do we know if the second booster is double the strength it was a couple of months ago, as Pfizer announced it was going to do? No confirmation on that yet, which probably means they just went ahead and did it, because they can. No more oversight, no more regulation, no more double-blind tests, none of that. It gets in the way and hampers progress.
And I think the average person doesn't understand that.
No.
Most didn't understand that the experimental injections, mRNA or adenoviral vector injections, were completely experimental. They thought that, well, if the FDA said they're okay, then they're okay.
Well, what's I think the biggest irony of all is, in my opinion, there's absolutely nothing experimental about this death shot, this bioweapon. It is deployed and it is doing exactly what it was designed to do.
I agree. You know, the whole thing has been rather, at least to me, from the beginning, you could see where this was going.
Yes, you did. I did. Many of you listening did. And it has. It's gone precisely where we thought. And it's not over. They're still ramping it up. When they're talking about combining the bioweapon injection with monkeypox vax, which doesn't work anyhow, they've got two vaccines out there that are anti-pox vaccines, but they're not specific to monkeypox. We have no proof that they'll work. And beyond that, how about the homosexual community try and change its lifestyle a little bit instead of whining for a vaccine so they can carry on doing what they do? Nah, Not gonna
yeah, that disease would be amenable to behavior modification largely.
One of the few.
Risk mitigation.
Correct. Yeah. But no, you're taking our freedom away, our freedom of expression. That's what they say. Freedom of expression. 200 partners a year. Freedom of expression.
Well, I hate to say it, but they're going to be the sacrificial lambs because they are willingly taking these shots.
Right.
If not outright demanding them, you know, with no known consequences.
100% correct.
There and it's is a replay so much... of what we went through, what, 30 years ago with the...
The swine flu.
Not the swine flu. The way in which HIV was seeded into the population.
Smallpox. The smallpox.
Or the hepatitis B virus or vaccine. Sorry.
They used the Hep B over here and the smallpox in Africa.
Yeah.
Very clever.
So you can seed all kinds of diseases into a population by using a needle. In fact, that's preferable, and why you would naturally pick a promiscuous subset of the population to do that.
And just keep in mind, shedding is more than real. And we don't have it all wrapped up, but we think that there may be other things being shed beside the spike protein, which God knows is bad enough. This is a terrible situation for people. They just don't think. They don't know. So they can't act properly, and they can't make the right decisions. I don't know. There's so much going on out there that the alleged so-called news media is absolutely hiding from us, from the people. And very happy to be able to bring what we can to you on this program, because that big flat screen that you stare at every night, think you're being informed. No, you're being programmed. That's why they call it programming. And you don't have a chance. They're lying about things. The number of people in this country who have been harmed, all right, injured. Let's just for fun talk about families and relationships, marital relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Look at the damage done. Probably 200 to 300 million people's lives have been negatively impacted by those around them who have chosen to either get or not to take the bioweapon injection. These people have been damaged. They've been hurt, all right? They're also living under ungodly amounts of stress and have PTSD, probably for the rest of their lives in many cases. Well, that's just one. The other aspect of it is the physiological injuries that people are suffering and sustaining. And I remember one of the first things I asked Erica was, are you getting reports? Are you reading reports of people who have been able to turn back and recover from a severe bioweapon injection? And she said, no, I'm not seeing any. And that hasn't changed. So, no, a borax bath or whatever it is they're recommending, it's crazy. It's not going to do anything. No frequency machine is going to do anything to reverse the damage that you've been given, because you are microclotting from head to toe, courtesy of the mRNA instructed production of spike. And you don't know it. You don't feel it.
Well, that's just one possible outcome of what this does. I mean, it is genuinely a metabolic poison.
And that's an excellent
phrase. It can disrupt your metabolism in myriad ways. Right. And some will be readily apparent, immediately apparent, and others will not manifest for some time.
And when she says metabolism, she's using the word in its broadest construct.
Yes. Okay.
Crazy. All right, we have a special guest to come on and share some very interesting. Now, will it state up front? This is anecdotal, but these are real people telling real stories to this gentleman, and I've known him for a long time, and he's offered to share them tonight just to run down a little list of them. His name is John Haskins, and John is a very well-informed, very interesting gentleman. He is a fellow of the Inter-American Institute for Philosophy, Government, and Social Thought, a senior fellow for the Public Understanding of Law, Propaganda, and Cultural Revolution as well. So, John, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome.
And you guys have become a great team.
Well, thank you.
I really enjoy your contributions, Erica.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Now, my friend, we were talking on the phone today, and you started rattling off these things that you've picked up lately from people, and you might just lay the groundwork by saying how are you coming into contact with some of them, and it has to do with a rental property, which is very interesting. So tell us the story, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, but first I want to add to what you said about the you quite properly qualified what I'm about to provide as anecdotal, and right. People ought to realize that's often used in a pejorative way, but in fact it's acknowledged by wise doctors that the good healthcare worker pays very close attention to anecdotal information from the patient, from family and friends and whatever, and arrogant, dangerous healthcare people just take their facts from the CDC, the NIH, and the drug. Mm-hmm. The mafia that runs a lot of the world right now. So, you take these, what I'm about to say, as anecdotal in part because it is secondhand. I'm getting, some of it's actually firsthand, and it was to me firsthand. But the anecdotal information is potentially of enormous value. And I say that in the context of a society in which it's well known by people in the research community that only about 25% of so-called research data in the social sciences and the natural sciences turns out to be repeatable. So what I'm offering is what it is, and people will have to interpret it on its own, but I would vouch for it at a much higher level than the vast majority of so-called scientific data that's available to us in almost any field.
Well enough said and stated. I agree. Here, look, the stories never end. 30 young, healthy, fully jabbed doctors now suddenly dead. And that's just the latest count. This just it goes on all the time, but you don't hear this in the so-called news media. So that's why anecdotal information is so important in my view. Go ahead.
So I happen to be a landlord, and I've owned this place for 20 years, and so I have a bit of time there against which I can compare the current situation. There is a catastrophic housing crisis. Rents are skyrocketing, and I'm being more careful than ever about whom I'm going to rent to for a variety of reasons. I want someone who's going to be mentally stable and financially stable in the situation we're going into economically and so forth. So I have interviewed, to one degree or another, I would say something like 36 people, which is, and maybe more, which is far more than I normally would. And the this has put me in a situation where I can gather this anecdotal information and have the kind of mind that organizes it and makes mental notes. And it's really quite astonishing, Jeff. One of the first things that I mentioned, we talked earlier, Jeff, is that the divorces and breakups are rampant. I mean, people are calling me and even putting in their emails, I'm going through a divorce or I'm recently divorced, and my own tenants in more than one apartment are all breaking up. Everything is falling apart in terms of relationships, marriages, and long-term relationships. People are very frightened. These are some of the general conclusions before I get to the specific anecdotes. People, most of these people, I would say 70% approximately, are injected, and either once or twice or more, and they're really frightened. The more injections they've taken, the more frightened they are. They're hearing from family and friends. Some of them have already on their own mental and or physical consequences from the injections. And they're starting to get information from either from the alternative media or people around them who are getting that information. And it's really frightening them. Simultaneously, they're terrified about the inflation in food and energy and rents. So what we're seeing is a massive disturbance of society and various ways. There is a climate of fear that I've never seen before. And I think, I'm in the Boston area. Most people of these people seem to have voted for Biden and don't like Trump. But those who the discussion with whom the discussion goes in that direction seem to wish they had voted for Trump nevertheless. Now, that's a bit ironic because of the role we know that Trump played on these death shots. But anyway, unless you have a comment, either of you, on that, I'll go into some of these anecdotes.
Well, this is reflective, and then I'll get to Erica. This is reflective of the overall devastation that has already been inflicted on our culture, our society. When you see headlines, which I see often, that read like this, here it is, children seen celebrating, cheering on drag performers at a Texas drag show. Little children, they're being mind effed, okay? They're being destroyed as 3-, 4-, 5-year-old kids, 6-year-old kids. And then they take them, these parents, these alleged parents, take them, we had another video yesterday, to these LGBTQ rainbow, call them parades. And you look at the sidelines, who's watching and cheering the parade? Fat, usually, overweight, white mothers with little children. Little children. And I don't know. This whole thing, I don't know how it could possibly be turned around at this point. But that's just one other aspect of a wide panorama of tragedy. Anything to add, Erica?
Yeah, I mean, I see it too to some degree. I'm in the Boston area too, John, and I've kind of withdrawn to some degree socially because of all this, because, you know, with my stance on this, I'm very outnumbered by
the
people here.
Although the numbers are turning.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I wasn't aware, though, of the fear factor that you're describing, that these people are finally starting to wake up to, you know, what they've done to themselves.
Yeah, it's marked. It's very surprising. And I've withdrawn as well for the same reason you have. But because I'm advertising this apartment, I've been flooded with this, well, let's call it anecdotal data. And that's why I called Jeff. It all adds up to a very clear picture of frightened people whose
that's
lives are falling apart in every way.
Sounds like
yeah,
you're almost
I'm,
begging
I'm still
you.
Seeing... From the small circle of people that I still do keep in touch with kind of tangentially, I think there's still, from what I can see, a lot of bravado in their decisions, and whether that's feigned or real, I don't know. Time will tell.
Yeah,
again. I think they're less...
past the graveyard.
Yes.
These are people who have... in fact, when they originally went for the jab, many of them had grave doubts. And, you know, the human mind is very complicated. And people, when they're under pressure, either what they perceive as economic pressure or social pressure. And one of my tenants told me he was the details of the pressure he was under at work. And it was quite absurd because he made it more of it than there was. But anyway, I don't want to interrupt your thoughts there. It's quite true that there's a certain amount of bravado, or as I say, whistling past the graveyard. And it doesn't take much for that to fall apart. And I'm seeing that when I raise the topic, because my view here is that I don't want a tenant who's going to die on me in 6 months or 9 months,
right,
number one, or is going to become mentally unstable, as people already are. And I
are
also,
you,
in the
John,
shedding thing that Jeff...
John,
is, yeah.
Excuse me. As a landlord, a property owner, are you legally allowed to ask someone their vax status? I'm curious.
I'm not sure about that, but I tell you something. People tend to, of course, as you'd expect, immediately boast, yes, I'm double jabbed or whatever. And although some of them, one lady said, well, that's a private matter. And I said, well, for me as a landlord, it's a very relevant matter. And so she reluctantly told me, no, I haven't taken it. And I said, well, good. So she was afraid I was going to discriminate against her.
But
it's not that I will refuse to rent to someone who's vaccinated, but it is a factor. And it ought to be. So, I mean, the one thing I wanted to say about, as you were in doing this lead up about shedding, I could be wrong, but my impression is that shedding is going to be a kind of different category of threat completely by orders of magnitude, because your mRNA factor is gone, and as far as I can understand, no one is going to be generating spike proteins internally. So my thought is that your body would gradually eliminate the spike proteins rather than continually generating them if you're picking it up by shedding. Does that make sense?
Partially, yes. It's a diminished risk, but because that protein is biologically active all on its own, mm-hmm. it can enter your body and wreak havoc directly.
Sure.
But also, as your immune system, if you do mount an immune response to it, that changes its behavior. And you can become essentially allergic to it, which I think the people that have had this extreme reaction to shedding are having a hypersensitivity reaction to it in some way. I don't think that's all of it, but it could explain some of it. We've heard now of two instances where males have shaken hand with a recently vaxxed male, like, you know, probably the day before, and one was, he was having heart palpitations. I thought he was having a heart attack within hours of shaking that person's hand. And the other one was that the next day, this person went into a tailspin, and he traced it back to, it was that guy whose hand I shook the day before. And that particular person struggled, a month, 6 weeks, with some kind of debilitating illness from this.
And then
I've had several stories of women who have just, given a female friend or relative a hug, just a quick brush of the cheek, and that put them into a tailspin. I mean, bedridden type of tailspin.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it is. I mean, we think it's spike. It could be more than spike.
Right.
I mean, it's going to come down to some individuality as to how your immune system reacts to this thing. And then I think there's some variability as to who are the, I guess, super shedders. I think some people are more prolific producers of this protein than others.
Right.
So
we don't know how long the body will continue to follow the mRNA mandate and create them. We don't know. It could be forever.
Right.
It could be 2 years. We don't know. We did project at one point that the average vax person will create 30 trillion spike proteins, which are biologically active.
Yeah.
And I've also heard that children, vaxxed children, are some of the best shedders, so to speak. And it makes sense if you understand that their bodies are in a growth phase and they're synthesizing proteins very efficiently in copious amounts, and now their cells have been hijacked to produce this spike protein. They're going to be producing copious amounts of it.
Yeah. John, would you go ahead and tell us just some of the stories
Certainly,
you related
yeah.
to me?
Now, one of the first people
important.
Who called, yeah, I guess this was about 3 weeks ago, was a delightful woman, I guess an older woman. I could tell from her accent she was black, social services worker, and she had taken the vax under, you know, job pressure. And she said, well, we had a fairly lengthy conversation, as a number of these conversations have been, and she said large numbers of people in the low-income ethnic communities she serves have either died or now have serious health problems after the vax. She says she does not believe any of them are being reported to theirs.
Don't hear anything about the black community,
right?
Like you're suggesting.
And she said she just volunteered this. Of course, I asked her, you know, are you double jabbed? And she said yes, and she regrets it very much. She's frightened. Wonderful, wonderful woman to talk to. And she just said the low-income ethnic community is now riddled with health problems and deaths after the vax.
Wow.
This is in the Boston area. I don't know which community. Several days ago, I think about 3 days ago, a hospital worker came and we talked about it. She said the day before, a 19-year-old boy had died of a heart attack in the hospital where she works, the very day before. Obviously, widow what that was caused by. The same day a woman came whose husband had recently died. I didn't dare to ask her how, but he wouldn't have been more than in his mid-60s from her age, so I assume it was an unexpected death. Same day, okay? Then also several days ago, a restaurant chef and her 27-year-old daughter came. They took to see the apartment. They'd each taken one Pfizer, and they said more. And in the course of the conversation, the mother said, the vaxxed people are starting to act very strangely. Now, obviously, most of these people are double and triple vaxxed, and she and her daughter are single vaxxed and won't take any more. But this, as I said, Jeff, to you earlier, goes into the category of behavioral and mental consequences that seem to be associated with the vax. There's just a lot of anecdotal information from different sources that people a lot of people are behaving differently, or what is a lot? Again, I don't have any
lot is a
quantitative
lot.
Data.
Capital L on that, because we do cover that. Erica watches this all the time. Personality changes, commonly aggression, anger, short fuse, very much so. Sometimes giddy, but that doesn't seem to last long. It morphs into the dark side of the personality. But a lot of hostility. Possibly some of it is rooted in the simple fact that, you know, they know they blew it when they took that shot. I don't know. I'm not them. But go ahead.
Please. And I think the other thing that goes hand in hand with this sort of nasty demeanor that we're seeing is sort of irrational arguments and sort of confused logic.
Mm-hmm.
Inability to think clearly about, things that, anyway. All right, well, so that was the social worker, and then the hospital worker said the 19-year-old boy died the day before of a heart attack, and then the woman who whose husband had just died, I didn't ask, and then the restaurant chef and who said vax people are starting to act strangely, and then another chef at a facility for Alzheimer's patients took the jab over the strong advice of her brother and sister. She was here yesterday, and now she realizes it was a huge mistake. She's in her 60s. She says, how can I get this out of my body? So this is a buyer's remorse, I guess you'd call it. And then one of the really sad ones is a female social worker. This was about a week ago. I didn't meet her. She called and or she emailed and I called her. And she had taken the first jab and had a very strong physical reaction to it. She showed up for the second scheduled injection, very frightened, and told the doctors and nurses in the room of her terrible reaction to the first one. Well, they told her that she even more certainly needed to take a second shot, therefore. So she succumbed to the pressure, thinking that the second shot might cure the problems the first shot had caused. But her physical and mental health has been destroyed. She has intermittent blisters all over her body. She says they're disgusting blisters. And perhaps much worse, she has severe anxiety. She said a couple of times in the conversation, I now have mental problems. Now, people don't go around casually telling you they have mental problems, and certainly social workers aren't likely to. But she's only able to work half-time now, is on public assistance. And she has a son who's 17. She's hoping he'll go off to college in a year. And she'd been looking forward for years to being able to travel to Europe and so forth. And now her health is so poor, she realizes none of her dreams are likely to come true. She has such severe anxiety, not to mention the blisters. So, again, something in the mental health category.
And these people, John, are trying to gain your trust and be considered to rent something. And here they are talking about these truly grievous problems.
They just spill it out
with you.
They have no
one to talk to.
Right.
Who are they going to talk to? This is another indication of a society that is disintegrating. This is tragic to hear.
Well, she said, the other thing she said, and this is this really stuck in my mind, she said she still vividly remembers the eyes of the doctors and nurses and their voices when they told her that she needed the second shot. And she said in retrospect, she realizes they didn't believe a word they were saying to her. She's haunted. She's haunted by the look in their eyes when they were lying to her. They were just following orders. You know, sending people to the ovens or whatever metaphor you want. You know, she knows in her heart now they didn't believe what they were telling her.
I think there may well be absolute betrayal. Absolute, yes. I think there may will, if not now, there will be tens and twenties and fifties and maybe hundreds, a couple hundred million Americans who either entertain those thoughts or have embraced them as truth. They were lied to, betrayed, as Erica says, and they're dying. These people are not getting better. No.
We know these hospitals and these doctors are all getting cash infusions for every shot they give. And they fear loss of, you know, they fear delicensure or losing their jobs if they're nurses or whatever if they don't play along.
Notice how, John, you said something interesting there. And I think about this, everyone. Notice how fear is involved with almost every aspect of this. Fear of the unknown, fear of your friends, fear of losing a job, fear of this, fear of that. It's fear. This is all fear. And they know that. They game this on supercomputers for over 20 years. We know that is a fact. Sickening. Go ahead, John, please.
There was a young scientist, I think he was young just from his voice, who called me from, I think, North Carolina. He'd been offered a job here. Now, as you know, Erica, is sort of the Silicon Valley of biotech.
Yes,
and of really everything medical, Boston area. So they're just all the big companies are here. And a young scientist called from about a week ago, a little more maybe, from I think North Carolina. He'd been offered a job here, and he was looking for an apartment. Well, I told him, and he was so desperate that he and you know, he was willing to rent sight unseen. I said, well, I really couldn't do that. And then I said, by the way, are you vaxxed? And he said, yes, double vaxxed. And so I brought up the topic of these, you know, the information he obviously hadn't been privy to yet. And I said, you need to go into the alternative media and look this stuff up. And he was quite open. I mean, he's a biotech scientist. I didn't ask his specialty, but he asked me for some information. And I'm not a scientist, but I'm fluent enough in the sciences. And so I spent about a half an hour with him telling him, just the basics, really, in various areas, the masks, the lockdowns, the epidemiology, the spike, et cetera. And he listened in rapt attention, and he said, will you please send me some information? And I did. You know, I spent some time sending him some links. But what's interesting to me about this, and the reason I share it, is here is a seemingly very young and certainly very intelligent biotech scientist. Again, I don't know his specialty, and all this is all about specializations. Unless someone really does a lot of independent research, their formal education is unlikely to prepare them for really understanding what's going on. Obviously, most MDs have no clue. But anyway, what's interesting is that he was open when I told him this stuff and was obviously quite alarmed that he had taken this. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the final anecdote is, in a way, the most interesting to me. There's one other before that. The one person, I'm not trying to remember who this was, just several days ago, said they had gotten, quote, both Moderna shots, or two Moderna shots. And I said, well, that's odd. The Moderna's a one-and-done setup. And they said, no, I got both of them. And I said, well, then you got the regular one, and then someone boosted you. Because it's a one and done, and you should have seen the look on their face.
Well, I think it's the J&J, Johnson & Johnson, that was one and done.
Well, can we important. I think that's important. Can we look this up? Because I'm pretty sure Moderna is one and done. Yeah, I'm almost positive. And it's much, much stronger than Pfizer.
I think they may be using the second one and calling it a boost.
No, Moderna's always been two.
It has?
Yeah,
sure
and it was
that?
J&J
okay.
that was one.
Which has been withdrawn, from common usage.
But, you know, I know of people who had got just one J&J, supposedly, and they are having issues.
Yeah.
Serious issues. I mean, you know, in the end, they all of these program you to make a lethal protein.
Yeah.
And if your body cannot neutralize that protein, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And your body
can't.
So
the final anecdote here is, in a way, the most ironic of them. A woman came about 3 days ago. She's a teacher. She's leaving her husband. They're getting a divorce. As again, so this is rampant now. It's just amazing how many people are breaking up right now. And she's had two Pfizer shots. She regrets it very much. She has rashes all over her body and periodically feels like she said several times, I feel like I'm going to fall off a boat. And so lightheaded and losing balance and the rashes. And her husband is a biotech scientist as well. I didn't ask what his field is, but he's worked in a series of the local, you know, big biotech companies, pharmaceutical companies, I guess. And he had a history of taking antidepressants and anti-anxiety medicine and a problem with alcohol abuse as well. And then he took the jabs, and she said the problems that he had became far, far, far worse as soon as he took these injections. Mm. And she said the jab was not mandatory where he was working at that point. I don't know which of the companies he was at, but it was not mandatory. And they gave their scientists freedom to take it or not. And she said that there were scientists warning each other, calling around from one company to another, because it's sort of a community. People move around with some frequency, taking better offers. So she said that he was telling her that various communications were traveling from one company to another, where people were warning other scientists, don't take this, don't take it. Well, what happened was he took it, and his depression and anxiety went, through the roof. He's at the state now where he gets out of bed in the morning and he starts crying. And he's crying all the way through getting dressed and a shower and whatever. And he leaves to the car, probably in the car all the way to work. He gets through a day at the lab. He comes home and takes his medicines and goes to bed. And,
wow.
He's in really bad shape. I mean, far, far worse than before. And he had been sent to some alternative medicine people locally who apparently were quite good. And they told her, I don't know if they told him, his brain is toast. His brain is toast. And that they couldn't help him. I mean, people in alternative medicine, alternative therapies tend to be quite optimistic in my experience. And to tell someone like that, you know, her or his spouse, the weakest can't help him. It's too late. It's too far gone. But she said that, now he moved, I think he was at GE Healthcare, which is a former General Electric subsidiary, and I think it's now called Cytiva. And he was there, and then he was at either Sanofi or Sophia Genetics or both. She seemed to be a little confused because she was just picking up what her husband was saying. And she said that at these places where they had a choice, the scientists and technicians, whether to take the jab or not, he told her the people who took it are sick and the people who didn't are okay. And she said, but, quote, no one wants to talk about it. So the impression that he has given her as a result, of course, of whatever communications are ongoing in the scientific community here is that it's a big, you know, secret that their technical people who took the shot are in trouble health-wise, serious trouble, but no one wants to talk about it.
These are our frontline scientists in many cases,
yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah, and she did say one other detail. I don't know which of the companies it was, but because he's moved from one to the other over the last several years, and maybe a second move as well, but she said that he was one of these labs, she said, was where they made the big breakthrough. I didn't ask her for an explanation, but some kind of big breakthrough related to these jabs, according to her husband, was done at one of the companies where he is. So it's just quite ironic, you know, that these people, and by the way, Sophia Genetics, which is one of the places, if I understand what she said, is where he works. It was only founded a few years ago. It's a Swiss-based company, and the chief scientific officer happens to be a Chinese national.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I can throw in one more, Jeff, about my friend, the Brazilian Orthodox priest, if you want. It's very quick.
Go ahead.
And so my friend Lewis is an Orthodox priest in Greece, but he's Brazilian, and his mother and most of his family are in Brazil. And his mother was elderly and died several months ago in a Brazilian hospital, just of natural causes. And one of the administrators came to Lewis's brother, who was handling things, and said, we want to record this as a COVID death. And his brother said, well, it has nothing to do with COVID. She died of natural causes, of old age. And the administrator of the hospital said, yes, but if you let us put it down as COVID, the government will pay for your funeral expenses.
Yep.
Yeah. What a bribe.
Now, for the audience, the man who told me this, who heard it directly from his brother, is one of the most reputable people I know. I take this as the gospel truth. And one of the things that's interesting about it is that this sort of thing would be over the objections of the heroic president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro, who is onto this scam. And one of the things that's interesting about it, too, Jeff, is you interviewed my friend John Wood a few days ago, and he told you about something similar happening in a hospital in Utah, where the doctor came to John and said, this is this woman who nearly died, that this was extreme COVID. And John said, well, there were no respiratory symptoms. This is a vax injury. And the doctor looked at the floor and wouldn't answer him and walked away. Why were they going to do that? Because they were going to cash in. So this is global. I mean, if you think about the logistics and the planning and the control, to be able to do it in places as far removed as Brazil and the United States and who knows how many other countries, it's an astonishing operation.
Yes.
It's
been massive. For some time. Yeah.
Meticulously
to get hospital administrators and doctors to try to convince family members and friends to let them lie. This is, in the United States, this is a felony. This is a felony fraud, okay, to get federal taxpayer monies based on falsifying medical documents.
Yep.
That's a felony.
I don't know how much money each hospital patient who dies of COVID, whether they did or didn't, I don't know how much money the hospitals get, but it's a good chunk. It may be $100,000 if they're an inpatient at any time during the whole regimen, and I guess most.
Well, it's all itemized. They get a certain amount for remdesivir. I don't know, 20,000 or 30,000 if they give you remdesivir. I think they were getting a certain amount for intubating and ventilating. And
800 a day for remdesivir minimum.
Yeah, and then if you die, they get a bonus. It's
50K easy. 50K easy. Maybe double.
Oh, I think if you add it all up, I've seen itemizations, it gets around 100,000 if you play it right as a hospital. You can make $100,000 on a death.
See, that's really hard for the average rank-and-file human being to understand that a hospital would be involved in the death business. But that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's exactly what they're doing. It's incredible. Well, thank you, John, for that. That's a very important update, and it does help people understand that the incredible undercurrent, it's like a riptide of death that is underpinning our entire culture now. It's horrible. And I don't know if you're going to find... Have you found one, and I use the term very advisedly, one normal applicant yet?
I have, yeah. And some of them are just sort of maybe might barely qualify financially. I mean, there are a lot of people in financial trouble right now. But... You know, and then some of them, one that I'm still considering, the husband is unvaccinated and the wife is.
Oh, trouble.
Yeah.
Trouble.
So it's quite complicated. I mean, this is a high uptake area, I'm sure.
Yes.
Well, John, thank you for sharing. That's very important information. It is very helpful. Thank you, and good luck.
All right.
Be careful out there. All right.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's another dynamic, but pretty much the same thing we've been finding, you've been finding. But it's fascinating to hear it in real life, in real time, from someone else who's actually living it and experiencing it. These people are just pouring their hearts out to I'm afraid, I shouldn't have done it. And how many times have we heard people who are dying or gravely injured say, if only I had taken that second booster, I'd be okay. They think that.
Well, or these people that are struggling with myocarditis from one dose and they go and get another dose.
It's like insanity rules. No, there's nothing logical or pragmatically linear in thought.
Part of the reason that this whole thing, this scam, has been successful is the ability for critical thinking has been bred out of the population, or much of the population.
The deliberate dumbing down of America. Bless Charlotte Iserbeet. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't it strike these people as odd that a vaccine was the only solution to a virus that was, well, we didn't know initially what it was going to be, but it became clear that there were treatments that were working, and yet we still need a vaccine to get back to normal. And there was a very distinct subset of the population that was susceptible. Most were not. And they're going to mandate an experimental injection? Mandate it? And there's not going to be any liability? That didn't strike these people as odd, it's illegal, first of all, but no red flags went up?
Now they're, well, he mentioned buyer's remorse. It's worse than that. Many of these people, I think they know they're on the way out.
That was somewhat enlightening because I in the circle of people that I know or still keep in touch with someone, I haven't heard that yet. It might be there, and as I said, there might be some bravado, especially in the way they relate to me at this point, because what I said 2 years ago was coming true.
Yes, it is. I don't know where we're going to be by the time the, quote, holidays roll around, but I am sad to say that this may be the last Christmas. I think last Christmas was the last Christmas. Now reality. How are you going to have a Christmas season with a shattered family or no family? Well, you have people losing more than one person in their family, their immediate family, and the family is split on vax. We'll figure it's 80-20. That's the normal figure that people use. 80% vax, 20% not. And there's no common ground for these people. So holidays are just not going to happen for many people. And the bread lines are getting longer. And the junk from China is not going to be bought. The inventories are huge, I'm told. And these tilt-up stores, the big box buildings like Target, because the people don't have disposable income anymore. The inflation is killing them. It's all being orchestrated, all of it. So what are they going to do this holiday season except hopefully remember what the holiday was really all about? And it has to do with kindness and care and concern and the golden rule. We don't have to buy our way to a happy holiday, but it's going to be a tough one. I just sense it. Not good.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I don't know how you...
The part he mentioned about, it is concerning. I had noticed this a while ago when I was just taking a cursory look at the job offerings in the biotech industry in the Boston area. Mm-hmm. And many of the companies were requiring candidates to be vaxxed, that the current staff was vaxxed, and any candidates that were seeking a position with the company would have to be vaxxed too.
At the very least, you'd be in a mixed work environment and be in great danger.
Yes,
some
is that
vaxxed,
to consider?
Some not.
But if you think that you know, this is in some aspects a brain center of this country in terms of advancements in biotechnology or Rockefeller medicine. That's significant. You're going to lose a lot of talent when these people become too sick to work or die.
Part of the
and
plan.
It sounds like from what John said that you know there's already evidence that that's happening. Half the workforce is crippled in some way.
Wow.
So another pillar of this country is being taken out.
The plug has been pulled, and it's coming down. Stay out of the way. You still have a little time if you have any money to buy some food and put it away. No joke. Got to do something. And I wish there was more we could do, but we're doing the best we can. The group that we've recently been following that just appeared a week or so ago with around 40,000 members when you discovered it, what is the number now as far as you know?
I think it was approaching 80,000, so it's doubled in a week.
Wow. Well, maybe canceled soon.
Yeah, if it hits 100K, that's generally when they shut it down. So we'll see. We'll grab what we can.
Yeah, okay. All right, my friend. Thank you. Very enlightening again. Not happy news, but reality as we now have to confront it. Talk soon, Erica.
Okay.
Be well.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good evening, everyone.
Okay. And we'll be right back with Hour 3 for you next.